chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host. With me today, back again, is my good friend, William Nickerson, general manager of Flappers Comedy Club. Everybody's favorite. I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I think it's important for, I'm sure you and Barb and Dave, the owners, like, it's like the best club in Southern California, especially if you're the comic. I think it's also the best club if you're an audience member, because it's the best club if you're a comic. Like, you guys pride yourselves. It's funny, if anybody's watching that show right now, I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime. Are you watching that at all?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's really interesting. It's more about, it's set in the 70s, right? Like, pre-comedy boom. And the idea is, it's not based on any real facts, but the idea is that there's a character who's like a Mitzi Shore, and there's a Comedy Store-like place, and in the season finale recently, the comics are trying to unionize her because they're not getting paid and all this stuff. And it's funny because you go around. One of my favorite things I saw was they had a thing where you got discounts on the food in the restaurant based on where you were in the lineup. And the thing that I thought was interesting was the MC got the least discount. The feature got the second least discount, and the headliner got the biggest discount, which makes sense, except for they're also the guys getting paid the least to the most, right? So the guy getting paid the most got the fattest discount, and that kind of thing. But Flappers is not about this. So if you live in the Southern California area, always great shows, always great comics. But we're not here to talk about Flappers with William. Do you like Will, or do you prefer William?
Either one.
You don't care?
I just don't like the bill variations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever tried to work the over-friendly Bill with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, my whole childhood, it was either Bill or Bill Jr., because my dad's also William.
Oh.
And so...
Did he go by Bill?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
And so I literally had to move away when I was 18 just to get people to call me William.
Just to call you William.
Yeah.
That's great. That's funny. People think... I never thought of that connection. People think my son, Jack, is named John, and we call him Jack. And I was like, I knew the whole Jack Kennedy thing, but I never knew that Jack was it doesn't make sense. Why would you, Bill for that matter too.
Like, sure.
Why add a letter, right? Or change three letters in a name? Why, how does John become Jack, and why make Will to Bill? Did you ever look this up or?
I have not, no.
No, because you're angry about it.
I just moved away. And everybody I met, I'm like, I'm Will. That's fun. You call me Will.
You know what I like about you, Will, is that there's a big part of me that believes that that is at least the top three reasons why you moved here. Where did you move here from?
Well, I moved here from Oklahoma, but I moved to Oklahoma from Maryland.
Oh, wow. So you went from Maryland to Oklahoma to stop being called Bill.
Part of it, yes.
Part of it. And then you came here and you were already William for a while by the time you came here.
Correct.
All right, let's get your stats here. Because you, every time I see Will, I hope you don't mind this about me, but I'm fascinated. As when you guys have heard me talk to any guest who is in this phase of parenting, this is always the topic of conversation that a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, Will, when I see you, I go, I want to ask you everything about that's going on with your kid, and I want to just get inside your head. Because I like that you're kind of an old school dad, you're super grounded. And I just want to see what your mindset is. But I feel like that my fear is that it's all I talk about when I see you. But anyway, so you have how many kids?
One.
One kid, daughter, right?
Correct.
And how old is she?
She is 18, will be 19 in October.
Now, you and her mother are separate. Were you guys ever married?
Yes, for 3 months.
3 months you were married, and then you separated. And so you've kind of done the co-parenting. She's always been in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So of her life, how many years have you been out here while she was alive?
10 now.
10 now. All right. So, and did you guys do a lot of the back and forth? How did you work that out?
I would fly back 2 weeks out of the year.
But never, did you ever do the thing where she's like 10 and you put her on a plane to come to LA by herself?
Yeah.
She's totally cool with it?
Yeah.
I had a friend who went through this.
She was about 12, we started that.
Started doing that. And she, did she ever, was she nervous at all? Did she...
Well, the first time I would fly out there, pick her up.
And then fly back. So she was, this is why I like you, is that.
After that, though.
Right. That's what I mean.
You got one.
You did the right thing. You did the nice thing. And then after that, it's super old school grounded. I'm like, okay, now you know what it's like. I've shown you where the peanuts are. Just I'll pick you up at the airport.
Right.
If I'm 5 minutes late, don't panic. I'll be there. Like, because I imagine that even when she's flying there, you probably don't even get there like an hour before. Like, are you fretting in any way, shape, or form when you go to pick her up or no? Yeah. It's a safe world we live in. I think.
For the most part.
For the most part, there are crazies, but sure. Are you of the parental mindset where you have to constantly look out for crazies? Do you think they're lurking around every corner?
No.
That's interesting. Even though you have a daughter, right?
Yeah.
But you don't.
I've raised her to take care of herself.
See? And the reason I'm asking you all this stuff is because A, we have very few guests on the show that have daughters. And then B, we have very few guests that are like doing the co-parenting or they've been divorced, all of that stuff. And so people write in all the time and they're like, hey, if you could have more single parents.
Sure.
On the show, that'd be great. And I know we talked about it before when you're on the show with Michael Rayner. If you guys want to go back and look that episode up, it's a great episode because Michael's also a ton of fun. But how did you deal with the whole, like, was there any times where it was kind of hectic, like dealing with being far away? And
with me being far away, seeing her 2 weeks out of the year, I could never be the disciplinarian. I could never be the authoritarian. You know what I'm saying? I was never the parent in charge. Like, if her mom had a rule, that was the rule.
That's a good point.
And
because in theory, to kind of talk about this, is that you could, right? You could be that guy where it's like, you're with dad now. But it makes it a little bit harder for mom. I think, do you think it also kind of confuses her a little bit?
I think it would make it harder for her mom. And I think that it wouldn't really, like, for the week out of, like, what am I going to say? You're grounded? No, I'm not. Make me.
Do you have moments? I mean, especially during the teenage years, do you have moments during that 2 week visit where it's like it gets a little edgy? At least I'm imagining the first 2 days everything's cake, but then maybe after 3 days something could come up. But no. And you, but here's why.
We miss each other by then. You know, it's hard to be mad in a week.
But you guys talk to each other a lot, right? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We talk every day.
Every day.
Like, she's had a iPhone since she was about 11 as well, just so I could either FaceTime.
So
her
you provided a phone for her, and and that's a way you can FaceTime. That's awesome. Good for you, man. I really hope, and I'm not saying this, my fear is that it sounds condescending or patronizing in some way, shape, or form. Like, you know, when people try to call themselves a hero, even though they're not, like, I really think that that's cool, and I hope that, because so many parents, I think, today get so fretty, right? They're so worried about doing the right thing. I hope that you get to kind of lay your head down at night and go, I'm a good dad to my daughter. I love her. I stay connected, right? We have a relationship. Or do you ever worry about that? Did you ever?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
really?
I think the thing that kind of keeps me honest is I don't do that when I lay down. I think I'm an okay dad at best. Just because I'm not there enough, you know?
It keeps you hungry, so you put the effort in.
Sure.
That's a very good point by you. I spent so much of my parental life trying to calm myself down. I really do. I feel like, and I'm a guy who is like, I'm coaching football teams. I'm the president of the booster club. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I still have that mindset of like, oh, what if I, like today, I'm working a lot today, right? And it's like, oh, there's summer and summer's coming to an end. Am I not? They don't care. Like, they're in there playing Fortnite, having fun with, we have friends visiting. Like,
sure.
Ultimately, I don't think they care, but I never thought that, or at least I never translated in the way you just put it. I never thought that fear to a certain extent keeps me engaged, keeps me from resting on my laurels.
Sure.
I guess is an easy
whatever you're like, man, I'm the best, whatever.
Right. wouldn't you like to meet a dad or even a mom for that matter that just thinks, because I feel like we all, like, I think if I said this, let me say this. Thinks they're the best, right? Like, thinks that they're crushing it. It's easy for all of us to immediately imagine somebody that they're like, oh yeah, I know I'm
sure.
I know I'm nailing it. But I don't believe that there's anybody out there who's like, no, I've got this in the bag. And I mean, not beyond, sure, everybody does the self-deprecating humor.
Sure.
But when they're alone, throwing back a couple bourbons by themselves in their own mind, do they think, I'm crushed? I don't think there's anybody out there. Do you?
I think that there probably is, but they're not.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because I wonder if by your statement is that this insecurity that we all kind of walk through, if that keeps us honest, that keeps us engaged, if you don't have that, then the unfortunate circumstances that chances are maybe you're not as engaged as you could be or not sure. There is a disconnect, because I kind of believe that a big part of the reason why I am the dad I am And I'm over it now, but it would be a lie to say that it didn't inform me, is that through my own circumstances in my life, my parents divorced, right? And my mom moved away and I primarily stayed with my dad. It never bothered me as a kid. It doesn't even really bother me as an adult. There might be a brief moment in time where it bothered me when I was a teenager or a pre-teenager or any of that stuff. But I think that there is a certain element of that that makes me feel like I have to do all of those things. Sure. I have to do the PTA thing. I have to. I'm going to even backpedal on that statement. I don't think I do it because I feel like I have to. There is an element that I want to, but I feel like it's a part of the life that I signed up for. Because sure. I have moments where I'm like, I just want to fire up the PlayStation and just check out entirely today, right?
Right, and that's kind of the other good thing about being the away co-parent.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. So the other thing I wanted to talk about that I thought was an interesting choice that you made is that your daughter turned 18 before she graduated high school, right?
Right.
Are we okay to talk about this? Are you cool? Okay, great. Of course. So you set her up with an apartment after she turned 18 or what?
Yeah, whenever she is probably about November of last year.
Last year, she turned 18. And was this part of the game plan the whole time?
No.
No. So she hit 18 and she came to you with this. How does it, tell me, break that down for me.
Well, her and her mom have been having problems because her mom drinks a bit.
Oh.
And she's a teenager and those two things don't mix very well.
So yeah.
They fought a lot.
Yeah. Teenagers have a very short leash on parenting. Even if you are maybe not a drinker, maybe you're in it to win it and you know, there's a lot of love. There's still a pushback. So when you add that element, it makes it even more difficult.
Right. And I think part of her problem, and I wanted to talk to you about this anyway, just to make sure, because it's just an idea in my head. I don't have a lot of examples.
That's okay. I like the smile on your face though. This is going to be fun.
Because her and I are completely opposite in this area.
And your ex or your daughter?
Me and my ex.
Okay.
And that's what I like to call parental amnesia. Mm. That when you have a kid, you forget about everything that happened before that. Like, it doesn't exist. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I've been open and honest with my daughter since day one. She asks me a question, I give her an honest answer, no matter how dirty.
So even if she's like 5 years old and is like, what's a blowjob? You're like, well, it's this.
Right.
Okay. I like that. I'm not going to be against that. Go ahead.
But it was probably one of the visits I was doing a year ago or so. We were driving around with her mom and I just pointed at a place. I was like, oh, me and your mom used to buy bongs there. And her mom freaked. I've never smoked pot. And I'm like, you're the one that started me smoking. Well, like what happened that you can't remember any, like, I try to, cause it helps you. Like, I know that she's going to be confronted with these certain scenarios, because I was. And, like, my drug talk with my daughter is, ask me about a drug. If I've done it, I will tell you the pros, the cons, what it's like, what I liked, what I disliked. And, you know, I'll tell you what I know about it and my opinion on what you should do with that information.
Yeah.
And then you go off with that into the world and do what you want, because it's your life.
And would you be the guy where she's like, I want to try some heroin? Then you would you be like, well, then you would need to at least do it with me? Or would you be like, no.
Well, heroin's a tough one.
Right.
I've never done heroin.
Yeah.
Just because it is a one time and you're in it kind of.
Yeah, it's a committed thing. It's yeah.
So
it's a shotgun wedding of drugs.
I would advise against it. And so, no, I wouldn't want to be involved in the participation of that if you then decided to do that.
Favorite line in the show. I would advise against it. Yeah, no, you're right. Because, and why is it? It's got to be because you feel when you have kids. I experienced this because I started my stand-up career like a year or 2 years tops before I became a father. And there was an element of it helped my career, to be honest, becoming a dad, because it gave me laser focus. Like, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I have other people who are counting on me and I got to do it to the best of my ability.
Sure.
And so I could get that. And I didn't really have what I would consider to be a background in that stuff. I maybe smoked pot 4 times before I became a comic. And then I think I've done it 3 times since then. So it's not like I had a lot of skeletons in the closet.
Sure.
I'm not better than anybody. I'll tell you that, because here's what I'm hearing and what I like about what you're talking about I get the idea of it feeling like, well, I got to shake the Etch-a-Sketch. I got to be a different person, right? I get that concept. And maybe that translates into you don't want to acknowledge who you were before.
Right.
Right? But it's foolish to a certain extent, right? Because you, having gone through that, have a different level of credibility.
Sure.
And I always think, and I'd be curious to see what listeners think. Send me an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. But one of the things I remember of my dad's rule with booze and drugs is that once I hit about 10 and 12, somewhere in there, he just started telling me, he goes, listen, you're going to be into this stuff, right? And he goes, and I'm going to get the curiosity, okay? And he goes, here's my thing. If it's really just about the curiosity, then I want you to come to me. We'll figure out a way you can do it around the house and talk about it. Like that's, sure. I want a dialogue.
My parents were totally the, you can do it, but you're doing it here.
Right. He goes, if you want to, he goes, I got liquor in there. He goes, I think that you will hopefully know that it's not really about the thing. It's that doing the thing makes it seem like you're an adult. And he said, and I got to be honest with you, it doesn't really make you an adult. If you're asking me things like taxes and mortgages and dealing with those hard times make you an adult. Being able to get a buzz does not really an adult make. And he said, and further, he goes, I'm okay with you trying it. He goes, but when you start using it excessively, then that's because you're having issues with your self-esteem. And he goes, and that's also not adult-like. Sure. And I'm not okay with that kind of a thing. And I don't know. Even as a kid, I kind of remember him talking to him because he seemed so transparent. Even as a preteen, I remember really receiving that well.
Right, and it takes the cool out of it. It makes it hard to rebel.
Oh, because you've done it.
Well, yeah.
That's a good point,
too.
And
if you're like, okay, I've done that. If you want to try it, I'll do it with you. No, I don't need to do that anymore. It's not rebelling.
So the way she rebels against Dad, who used to buy bongs with his ex-wife, right, is she joins Toastmasters. That's how she rebels.
Right. Like my parents did that, and I didn't do anything until I was 20. I was completely straight edge because I could do that at the house. Screw that.
Right, right.
Like that's one.
We used to do heroin all the time. Like,
I don't know why you keep jumping to heroin.
I don't know. Maybe I have some kind of secret
the worst
desire.
Example.
Yeah.
Like, I've never acquired the taste for alcohol, so I don't drink. I don't have any problems with drinking. I've never, like, I'm not an AA or anything. It's just when I was a teenager, I didn't care that much about being cool because it wasn't cool. I could just do that at the house.
Yes.
And so I never acquired the taste, so it's gross, and so I don't drink it.
And I like it. It's funny because I think I'm going to be really transparent and to an almost uncomfortable level here, is that I was never into drinking until maybe the last 8 years. It was about the time I became a parent, probably bigger in the last 5 years. It was about the time Jacob had his birthday party. We had a bunch of friends over and I was making cocktails. And what I liked about it was it was a social thing, having cocktails. And there was a certain, this is going to sound really embarrassing, but there was a certain level of affluence that I felt like I had because I wanted and had the ability to taste an $80 bottle of bourbon, right? I could buy that and I could drink it. Like that means that I've worked hard enough to get to a certain point in my life where I can enjoy this. But if I was to honestly sit there and say, what would you rather put in your mouth? A hot fudge sundae or a bourbon on the rocks, right? Right?
Hot fudge sundae.
Right.
Every
and if
day.
You, and here's the thing. You know how they could completely put Jim Beam out of business is if you could get ice cream where you rocked a buzz afterwards. No way anybody. I don't care how manly you are, right? Like, unless you got, there's going to be a certain generation of dudes who like to do, and I like it. I like to do the cigar and whiskey thing. I don't know if it's because I'm still being that, playing a character of what a man does. I sit in my fire pit and I have a cohiba and I drink some bookers. That's what I do. That's how I unwind because I'm a man, damn it. That's what I do. But everybody listens to the show. No, I'm not a real, you know, I'm not a real man. I spend more time crying than I do smoking cohibas and drinking bourbon in my backyard. Right? But I think you're right. I think, yeah, the parental amnesia is a foolish move. You're giving up your credibility.
Sure.
Right. And the other thing you stumbled upon that I think is genius is the idea that when you have done it, it's no longer as taboo or cool.
Right.
Because the whole idea of the rebellion is that I'm a different person. I'm not you.
Right.
My dad always had a similar theory where it's like that everything skips a generation, right? So he used this in discipline, and I think I expanded it into a certain level of success, although I haven't completely worked that part out of it. But it's like if you grew up with super rigid, rule-oriented parents, you're more likely to be a loosey-goosey parent yourself, right? But if you grew up with loosey-goosey parents, you're more likely to have a ton of rules, right? The other one is that, and I honestly, this is a new thing, but it's like if your parents struggled financially, more than likely, money is going to be a priority for you. Managing it is going to be a thing that you're probably going to seek out a high paying job as opposed to something that's just fulfilling that comes with a paycheck that you can live off, that kind of stuff, right? Sure. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's foolish to pretend like you didn't do any of that stuff. And the more and more I'm thinking it and saying it out loud, I think it really also, the biggest thing is it boils down to the idea of it does take away the cool effect. I can't wait to test this out. We're going to have to report. My kid's 10.
He's going to start doing heroin in a studio.
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to figure out how can I fake heroin? You know, I can't do it in the studio. Although, interesting thing. In this new world, I'm doing this more for the bit. In this new world, am I more... afraid of my son walking into me while I'm masturbating or while I'm doing heroin? Like, in this scenario, though, I'm doing heroin just to try to prove a point, so I'm more trying to lure him in so I can pretend like he caught me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But that's the other thing you don't got to worry about with the co-parenting thing. You never had to worry about your daughter walking in on you or any of that stuff. That never, never came up.
Just lay off it for a week.
On that note, let's take a quick break and we'll come back after these messages more with my good friend William. So good. Oh. Here's the thing. That song, I believe, came out in 87, if the internet can be trusted. I was 8 years old. But there's something about that music. I started listening to on the iTunes music thing where I'm listening to music of the 90s. And it's so funny because even when a hip hop song comes on from the 90s, oh my gosh, does my inner black dude just come? I just destroy.
Sure.
Oh, any kind of
oldie station.
Any kind
now.
Of African American heritage, my cracker ass just ruins. I'm just so excited. Oh, I heard I wish I was a little bit taller. I'm literally rubbing tri-tip with a Santa Maria rub for my friends who are coming over to have Jim Beam honey and lemonade cocktails later that night. Like nothing cool about it. But I play that song because William is you're gonna do a very fun thing. So you set your daughter up with an apartment back in November. I kind of cut that off. Let's touch on that a little bit since we transitioned to this. So how did that go? Like, was that cool? Like, did you go there, just move her in with some furniture, and then she just managed going to high school by herself?
I didn't go there at all until she graduated. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
she did it all on her own.
That was the genesis of this.
I just sent money.
You just sent money. So you helped her pay for the rent, or did you cover all the rent? How did you do it?
I helped pay. She had a DoorDash gig, so she gets like a Postmates or one of those app things. So she'd do that after school. And
so she had a car, and she you never had any issue with her showing up late to school or anything?
No, she has great grades. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I bet she loved it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's a little taste of freedom.
Yeah.
Which I had that when I was a kid, not my own apartment, but my parents kind of just always left me to my own devices.
I think we all did, right? Am I wrong? Or do you think yours is even like, no, my parents were gone for like months because I'm like, I was home for at least 4 or 5 hours a day.
I had an outside door from my room to the outside.
Oh, so you were like in a detached.
Like, I didn't even have to go through the house or anything. I came and went as I pleased.
Did you have your own bathroom out there?
Yeah.
So, but
it was like its own little pad.
Did you make a pantry? Like, did you set up a cabinet that you'd put snacks in?
I had snacks around, but
that's
no,
awesome.
Kitchen or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you didn't have a hot plate or you weren't. Yeah. You didn't have a microwave or anything.
But I couldn't leave at all hours because I was also in the fire department. So even if I was going to a party, they'd be like, "Where'd you go last night?" "Oh, fire call."
Wait, hold on. How old were you in the fire department?
When I was 16.
Really?
Yeah, that was my first job.
Oklahoma is badass.
No, that was Maryland.
Oh. Maryland is even more badass and more Oklahoma-esque than I thought. So in Maryland, you could just join the fire department at 16? What are you like helping there to clean out? Or are you actually fighting fires?
You're actually fighting fire. Like, it's a volunteer in the smaller cities, not Baltimore. But in Aberdeen, it was a volunteer thing. But then I was also an EMT because if you can pass the training, they didn't have an age requirement. They probably do now.
How do I not know any of this about you? So you're 16 years old.
Sure.
And you're qualified to not only fight fires, but you're an EMT, or I mean, is that, what's the distinction between an EMT and a paramedic? Is it an extra certification?
Well, the saying goes that paramedics save lives, EMTs save paramedics.
Oh.
Paramedics are the first on this, or EMTs are the first on the scene. Sometimes there's a paramedic in the ambulance, but often or not.
Oh, okay.
Not just a,
but they're basically
bit more
the same gig, essentially.
Yeah, we can't give like IVs or medicine or anything, like morphine.
But you can, you know, deal with trauma and try to stabilize them and all that stuff.
I can duct tape a sucking chest wound.
Wow. A sunken chest wound.
Sucking, like if you get it with your lung or whatever, it's just easier to duct tape it than anything else.
I don't understand what you're, anything, do you not remember? Do you remember earlier talking about me listening to I Wish while putting a Santa Maria rub on some tri-tip with some lemonade cocktails in the fridge? Do you remember that part? Do you think I know what a sunken chest wound is? Well, so describe this for me. Break it down. Like, so somebody's been stabbed or shot in the lung, and then rather than trying to...
Your chest will collapse because the lung will let out the air.
Because the pressure, right?
Right.
So this is the thing we've seen in movies is where you poke a big pin in there to release the pressure and let it fill up.
Sure, but the opposite of that is you put some duct tape over it and let it get some pressure.
Let it get some pressure, and so then somebody can breathe. And you've done that multiple times in your lifetime?
I've done that once in my lifetime.
And how did that shake out?
Good.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, as a EMT, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess, yeah. Do you ever have the thing where you save somebody's life and then they come back to say thank you, or you never, or you see them in the grocery store and they don't know that you saved their life? Or
I did CPR on my mom.
Really?
Yeah. She said thanks.
She said thanks once.
She was happy about it.
I bet.
I was pissed.
I keep getting distracted. There's so many things about your life I'm curious about, William. Can I ask what happened while you gave your mom CPR?
My mom had a heart attack, and I was out at a friend's house or whatever.
So you weren't responding to a call that happened to be at your house? It wasn't that Hollywood-esque?
No. My sister's an idiot, and so...
Instead of calling 911,
she called me. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Come on, sis. Come on, sis. I hope she's listening to this. Sis, you're a moron.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. We don't even talk anymore.
Oh, okay, great.
So she's not. She's not listening to this. She is. She's a horrible person.
I hope she's angry and going, you know, I could have saved your life too. But he thinks he's all great. He took an online course.
So I just got there first, so I just started CPR.
You started CPR, and then she came out all right because she had a heart attack? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. That's crazy. So you're in a detached house. I mean, let's be honest, because my wife, I've got a one-bedroom addition on the back end of the studio here that I turn the bedroom is where the studio is, right? And my wife has joked because we're trying to make the room bigger for my little guy. She goes, well, what if we just put our older son out there when he's like 14, 15? I'm like, no, you can't. You can't just let, I go, you can't make it that easy for him just to bring chicks back to the house at any hour of the night. Or was that, did you even attempt that as a teenager? Or was it one of those things where because it was so easy, it wasn't, you didn't even think about it?
No, I was a fireman, so chicks were easy.
They probably were. You were probably banging 28-year-old chicks at that point. Oh my gosh, that's true.
So yeah, that happened.
I'm being 100% honest. I'm sitting there going, I would like to just live 6 months of that life just to see what it was like. I would cave. I would cave instantly. I would be a screaming bitch.
Up until the job I had now, that was the most money I ever made.
Really?
Because like I was saying in Maryland, at 16, you can start volunteering with it, but you can also, they had the volunteer fire department, and then they had a private ambulance company that you would work for, and that was just a giant taxi with lights. So you take old people to dialysis, you know, it was never the emergency calls, so you go to emergencies for free, but then you get paid a shit ton to drive these people around.
Yeah, it's medical Uber is what it is.
So it was when I was making the most money I've ever made in my life until present job.
Right. That's incredible. I have so many questions, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break because this is a good point for us to transition back. I want to tell everybody about my fantastic friends at Sunbaskets. Literally just got a Sunbaskets delivery yesterday, so I have not tried the fantastic dishes. But for any of you that don't know and haven't been listening to me about what Sunbaskets is it's food delivery, right? So they give you pre-measured and all the ingredients are there. They give you a recipe book. It's all delivered to your house in like this cool cold, and it's all biodegradable because their whole thing is it's all sustainable. So you get sustainably sourced fish, you get responsibly raised meats, you get organic produce, pasture raised eggs, you get non-GMO tofu, which I haven't had tofu yet from them. I don't know that I dig it, but it's really good. I was just actually talking because they saw the delivery. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, Do they force you to say nice things about them? Like, can you say bad things? And I go, no, I'm sure I could. I said, but honestly, like, I can't think of a thing. The only thing I could think of is that there have been dishes where it's been more of a challenge than the others. But for the most part, 90% of these dishes have been super, super easy. And like I've said multiple times, if you've heard me talk about it, the you get to learn so much about cooking. It's not just like, oh, now I know how to make that meal. The techniques that they teach you and walk you through are things you could use on any dinner that you make. They have different meal plans. So they have one that's paleo. They have a lean and clean. They have gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, Mediterranean, which I think is the one that I'm on because I had that super specific diet I was on for like 6 months. All of it. I had a very, very specific diet. They had no problem. I didn't even have to give them special instructions. That's how selective they are with the food here. So all of the meals are ready in about 30 minutes. The way I like to think of it is that you are guaranteed that your family is going to have a healthy meal at least 3 days out of the week that you don't have to think about. If you're the person who cooks the meals, does the grocery shopping, it's all delivered. It's a great way instead of, you know, you feel like you're constantly making spaghetti, like every day we're having spaghetti every day. You're making it too much. It's a great way to spice it up, to get the kids to try different foods because it has in the recipe instructions of what they could do to help. And I've said it here too before. If you get the kid involved in doing it, they're more likely to at least try it. And most of the time, my kids are weird, though. They'll eat anything that I get that's fish from these people, and they devour it to the point where there's nothing left for my wife and I. And I don't understand how that is. We talked about this, too, my wife and I. Like, my kids will get offered pancakes for breakfast, right? And they would rather have Lucky Charm cereal. How does that? So they got weird palates. I don't know if you could trust them. But anyway, Sunbaskets is a great option. If you want to get some healthy, organic food, not have to think about it, you can pick the menu items in advance if you want. What I've done is they just send it to me. And I've yet to be disappointed. It's really, really good stuff. Sunbasket.com/dadpodcast, and you get $35 off your first order. All you got to do is go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast, sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. The link is in the description of this episode for $35 off your first order. All right, let's get back to your fantastic daughter, Will.i.am. She was in her own apartment. She did fine in school.
Yeah.
No issues or anything like that.
No.
Do you feel like you had I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. It's just, I'm curious, do you feel like you had a transparent enough relationship with her to know if she had boys over or even at this age, is she interested in that?
No, she has a boyfriend.
She's
been going out for about a year, so I know he was living there.
He was living there?
Yeah.
And do you even know if his parents were cool with it or?
I think so.
That's interesting. Do you know if she threw parties?
She had friends over, but no parties.
It's interesting. Like, you know, probably three or four friends that hang out. And
not the parties I used to throw. She hasn't had anything close to that.
What did you do in your back house? Or are you talking about even as an adult?
Yeah, young adult.
Yeah. What kind of, what can I know?
Yeah, just amazing house parties.
Like, what? But here's the thing. Again,
goes back to that whole drug talk.
Yeah, that's it. Was there heroin? No, because again, you're talking to Santa Maria guy with lemonade cocktails, right? So I'm curious, what makes an amazing house party?
Okay, so for about a 2 to 3 year period, I did acid a lot.
Wow!
Like almost every day, kept a job, the whole thing. It was amazing.
What is? I'm sorry, I interrupt you at every turn because every sentence that falls out of your face, it's just a Rolodex, like a slot machine of questions come through. First, I gotta know because I don't know why. I'm automatically assuming that most of the people listening have not done acid. Is it as hallucinogenic as everybody is saying it is?
I never saw like Purple Dragons or anything. You get fun tracers and some wavy lines. You know, I've never saw anybody's face melt. I think it it definitely feeds off of your personality and your mind state. And since I'm always in a good mood, I've never had a bad trip or anything. It was always just
so you. But you never took like you never did some acid, and you're walking through, and everything becomes a cartoon because you're in a good mood. Like there's sunshine and rainbows and birds chirping. Or
sure, maybe.
Wait, what?
Bit.
Sure, maybe a little bit. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like you just be walking and there's like a cartoon bird would come by.
It might get a little more neon, sure. Not a, like a cartoon bird, but.
But when you see the bird, it glows a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It'll have a hue to it.
But nothing, so you never saw anything that wasn't already there. What it did for you was it basically enhanced, for lack of a better way of putting it, whatever was already there.
Right. And, like 4th of July, I don't go watch fireworks anymore because they're just hella boring now.
Would you go watch fireworks on acid today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now,
I don't do it anymore.
Why not?
Because I did it so much and made it out with somewhat of my mind intact. One of these days I'm going to crack my back wrong and do it again with the flashback.
Is that, because I've heard that like you could just have a random flashback of that. Has that happened to you?
Not yet, but it does. It stores in your spinal cord. It never leaves your body.
So if you were to get in a car crash, all of a sudden you could see an enhanced... EMT coming to save a paramedic. Right.
But if I'm in a car crash, that's the time to have it.
Exactly. Yeah, you want us to come. That's wild. All right, so I'm sorry. So you had wild house parties. You did a bunch of acid. Right. Back to the house parties. Is that pretty much it?
Well, I mean, I'm still a nerd, so my wild house parties are we would turn all the lights off, play the Star Wars theme songs, and throw glow sticks at each other.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I honestly would do that even without acid, I think.
Sure.
I think I would definitely do that without acid. And find it thoroughly. I would be the one guy not doing acid, so I could maybe order the pizza for everybody. I don't know what you eat, but yeah, I would do that.
Well, since I guess I have a logical brain, like even on drugs, I still had a sense of what's going on. Like we had friends, we did it probably. It was about a month or so after 9/11, and we were all on it. And one of my friends was like, "Oh, we should go to the airport because they have cool lights." I was like, "Are you an idiot?" I'm on drugs. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, that's what you need is a mass of people hanging out by the runway watching planes.
Right. Might as well go to the police station. They got fun lights too, you jackass.
Sir, we're on some acid. Could you just turn on the blueberries and cherries for us real quick, bro? It would really, really enhance my trip, man. All right. So she threw some parties and then, but now the thing that we really wanted to talk about, the exciting news is that she is coming to live with you here.
Yes.
And why is now if I'm her, right? Dad's got me set up in a cush apartment, right? I'm graduated high school. I've got a good gig. Why shake that up?
Cuz it's in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, here's the thing, and this is probably where I differ from probably a lot of your listeners, and cuz I think it's a trend that's going to start, maybe I'm on the forefront of that. I talk my daughter out of college.
Ooh.
Because the institution itself is unsustainable. Like, it's an institution of debt these days.
Yeah.
Unless you know I am going to be a doctor.
Correct.
Or I am going to be a lawyer.
Yep.
You're just going into debt for no good goddamn reason.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just talked about this with somebody else that is, unless it's something that you need a certification, right? That's what you need. For a lot of people, I just don't see how it makes sense.
Right.
But here's the thing. I think that you and I are a couple of blue-collar dudes. Like, you had, what sounds like to me, a couple of full-time jobs at 16, right?
Sure.
I've been working since I was 9 years old, paying my own bills since I was 12. And so when you grow up with that kind of mentality, I think finding the job doesn't seem like the challenge. Right?
Right.
But there's got to be a wiring that, because I really think that the biggest argument people make is that, well, you can't get a good job unless you go to college, which sounds completely foreign and crazy to you and I imagine. Right?
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of my employees have college degrees.
Correct.
I don't.
Correct. The conversation I had, because
I'm like,
also,
okay, great. I love that degree. Go wait on that table.
And that's my thing, is that I'd be curious to see again what people think of that, because I do believe that, especially in entertainment. Like, I got into this argument with this guy when I was working at a theme park, of all places, to have this argument with somebody. And he goes, well, I couldn't get this job if it wasn't for my degree. And I go, because I said, you don't need a degree to work in theater or acting. Like, you needed to go there to develop self-esteem and get a little more self-confidence in your craft, maybe. I go, but as far as needing, and they go, no, no. He goes, I couldn't have got it. I go, yeah, but I started working here when I was a junior in high school. And honest to God, if I wanted your job, I could have it. I said, because I've been in the workforce. I'm more connected here at the place that you jumped out of college, only instead of paying the, at this time, which seems, I'm sure seems low, instead of paying $12,000 a year like you did, sure. I was making $24,000 a year working here while you were paying that money. And that's always, I had this conversation with my son of like, he was asking a question. I said, well, my, oh no, it was my, wow, this is weird. It wasn't my son. It was another guy who I took my job on at the radio station. I not took it as in stole it, but he replaced me. But that I said, I'm of the mindset to try and find ways to make money learning the thing that you want to do first. If you could do that without paying money, that's always far better than just shelling out money to learn to hopefully eventually get a job. Right?
Right. And that's where my daughter was. She's like, I don't really know what I want to do, but it'd probably have something to do with owning my own business, running, you know, something along
that line. More entrepreneurial.
I was like, okay, well, come work for Barb because she's an amazing businesswoman. Oh, yeah. So you just learn from her dumbass and we'll pay you instead of you paying.
You're right. And no better person. The people listening don't know this, but one of the owners at Flappers, like the thing that first drew me to her is that there's, like I said, that they care about the comics.
Yeah.
Barb and Dave are really good about investing in people. If you are willing to work and you want to help them, they will help you even more than you help them. They
absolutely will
always give more of themselves than you give. But there is that percentage, right? So if you half-ass it, then sure, they'll have you there and they're not going to. But if you put in an extra effort, like if you're the guy who's coming in overnight to fix things up, they're going to make sure you're taken care of. That's just how they're wired. And you're right.
And then you're going to want to come in overnight to fix things up.
And they've built this from the ground up. They've built this very nice thing that is growing and getting bigger and more well known and all from the ground up. So like, So she's going to come out here. So it's not really necessarily the mystique of Los Angeles, right? It's not that. It's just an opportunity to learn and to why sit in a place like Oklahoma where your scope of opportunity. I always feel weird because I want to make sure that what neither Will or I are saying that. If you live in Oklahoma, it's a land of not having opportunity.
I am saying that.
Oh, okay, my bad. I'm not. I don't think rural America is filled with lack of opportunity or idiots, right? I think that because there's less. Okay, well, nobody hears you nodding, but it does make me giggle. But what I do think it is that because there are less people, the chance, because there's more idiots here, right, than probably Aberdeen, Maryland.
Sure.
Right? In all of Los Angeles, but you just don't run into those idiots because there's also more people.
Right.
That's what I think is really the stigmatism.
Right.
But I was also raised by people from the South, and so maybe and I got
what I told my daughter was, you know, I don't care what you do. I will support you in whatever you want to do. My only opinion is that you get out of Oklahoma. I don't care if you move to New York, if you move to Florida, if you move to Greece.
And that could be said because it's about expanding your experience. Right. It's broadening the horizon. Right.
The more you travel, the more.
That's my frustration kind of with my nieces and nephews is that they stay in this kind of small town area, but they don't really know what they want to do. And I'm like, well, come live with Uncle Justin. Like, come hang out here, meet some other people. Because to a certain extent, we got down here and started meeting other people by just broadening your sphere of influence. You learn more, you grow more, and you kind of see more. My dad grew up on a chicken farm, and the biggest eye-opening experience he had was when he got a job at Taco Bell in Modesto, California, because the guy who owned the Taco Bell was a millionaire, and he owned multiple little businesses around town, and that was the guy that really my dad keyed into, and that's why my dad's a millionaire now. Like, that's, I believe, it's why he built his own business and all this stuff. He got a little taste of what that guy was doing and said, that makes sense to me. I like that. I want some of that, right?
Sure. Also, he knows the egg came first.
Yeah. So how do you process the idea of now your daughter's going to be living with you full time and she's an adult?
Just like any other roommate, these are the rules of the house. This is the rent.
She's your roommate. That's so great. Okay.
I mean, I've always treated her like an adult, so it's not going to change now. I do spoil the shit out of her, but that's still not going to change. I have told her that, you know, if you do come work for me, it's not, oh, my dad's the GM, so I get it easier.
Right. You'll get a little harder, right?
Yeah. Your expectations are to be a version of me.
Right.
I've never called in sick.
Yep.
I do extra. I do what I'm at. You know, I am the best employee that I can possibly be, and you have that bar.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, I get to sit here and text on my phone because my dad's the boss.
I got hooked up. That's good. I like that. I like everything about that.
So if you want to work for me, that's fine, but just know.
Is there any bit of you that's nervous?
If you think I won't write you up, I'll write your dumb ass up.
You probably do worse than that. Because now what's worse about that is that not only you get a write-up, but you get a little bit of a lecture on the way home if you carpool together at home, right? Like, it's a little different. Like, sure. Is there any part of you that's nervous about this? Of like, do you think it could cause a shift in your relationship or dynamic or not at all?
No.
Oh, good.
I think the one thing about me is, and that I am polar opposite of her mom about this too, is her mom wakes up angry. Like, that is her default setting.
I never get tired of hearing people talk about their exes. I never get tired.
I'm not saying bad things or anything.
No, you're not. You're not. But it's just funny that you very rarely do you hear somebody's, like, here's what I'm saying. There's not a visceral attack, but it's just like you found a delightful way to say that she wakes up in a crappy mood all the time.
Like, sure. Like, one of my favorite memories of me going to visit my daughter there, because I would literally sleep on the couch at my ex-wife's house just so I could spend more time with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
My daughter had one of her friends over, and early that morning, she comes, jumps on my stomach, and just starts flicking me in the forehead. And her friend is like, what are you doing? It's fine. He never gets angry. I'm like, good morning.
That's great. How old was she?
Probably about 15.
15. Okay. It's to me, I don't know why, but in my mind, it's an interesting dynamic if she's like 7 because she's fascinated by this, you know, like,
right.
But at 15, it's because she knows it. She's written it out.
She still just says it's like a party trick for her friend that's by the look at
what
this
I could
dumb
do to my
shit.
Dad. Yeah. He doesn't know it, but in 3 years, I'm going to be his roommate. We're going to have weird conversations about me picking my underwear up off the bathroom floor. It's going to be great.
And that's just a temporary thing. Let her save up some money, you know, and then because her boyfriend's moving out with her.
So it'll be the three of you.
So he will live
and you
there
get,
as well.
Have you had enough interaction with this guy where you feel like you get along with him? And
He likes me. So we get along fine.
No way a dad could feel differently, though. Like, you know what I mean? No way. I really feel like this. It's funny because I've caught in flack on this very show from Chris Booker, where I was complaining about back in the day when my mother-in-law was worried about my abilities of, like, taking care. I don't think she feels that way now. But the and if she does, I'm sorry. But
he's kind of in it now.
Right. Because but he kind of, like, it was funny because he goes, I was complaining about this story when I was a kid. And he goes, but you're supposed to feel that way. That's their daughter. Right. That's the.
Sure.
That's the kid. You can't. There's nobody that you could look and go, wow, look at that. Like, because it does kind of, to a certain extent.
There's nobody that's good enough for
right,
it.
Right.
Nobody.
Or to say they've outkicked their coverage. You know what I mean? Like, if that's your kid, like, wow, you really bagged that one. Good job. I wonder if my parents feel that way. I always have to yell at my mom for not. I go, you understand she has a mom, right? You're supposed to take my side in this. You're my mom. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, honey. You're right. You're right. She's wrong. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and do a little moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
I forgot to remind you that we do this. I don't know if you remember from when the last time you're on the show, but we end the show with a little moment of the week, which is because sometimes it could be a lot of complaining, although this episode wasn't. But would you like me to go first, share a little cute, touching moment,
sure.
And then you can win? Mine is really funny. Actually, I think you could see it. I don't know if I put it on the Dad Podcast Instagram, but I know it's on. I'll have to double check. By the time this posted, I'll make sure it's on there. But my sons have spent a good chunk of their summer playing Fortnite. Are you familiar? Are you a fan
of Fortnite? I'm familiar with the Fortnite.
Do you like Fortnite?
I know you're a gamer. I am a gamer. I love the games, but I don't like that one.
It's that, right? But here's the thing. When you look at Fortnite, you can see its appeal, right?
Sure, sure. Yes? Absolutely.
You can see why it's fun. But here's the interesting part is that when you play it, it's like there's something about playing it that just doesn't feel right, right?
Right.
It's not because it's cartoony. It's not any, like all of the gameplay elements. And I feel like Fortnite
is the first example for our generation of being like, games are changing. You know what I mean? Where it's like, this is now we're old people playing games to a certain extent, right?
Not for me, because I still play all the...
I still do. But like, why Fortnite? Why is Fortnite so popular with so many people? And we could see why it's good, but we can't get into it. That's all I'm wondering. Would you, but you, maybe this is a better question. Do you like Call of Duty?
No.
You don't like a shooter game.
I do like shooter games.
You like shooters, but not Call of Duty.
Like Battlefront, Battlefield, those I like.
Okay.
I like when your team starts over here, this team starts over there,
and you
guys meet in the middle with some kind of tactics on how to win.
You're right.
I hate the random spawn point people come up behind you and shoot you in the back of the head every 3 seconds.
Yeah.
There's no teamwork.
And
there's
Fortnite,
no fun in that.
I feel like maybe I'm really just exposing my soft underbelly on this, is that I just feel like Fortnite is a lot of 10-year-olds whooping my ass. That's what
it absolutely is.
Right? All right, so I'm sorry. So they've spent most of their summer playing Fortnite. And I'm doing a podcast project for another person. So they were using the studio, and it's going to be a great project. We'll promote it. It's from Jane Wells, who you've listened to on the show. She's building her own podcast. And I can't wait to tell you more, but it's very secretive because it's very Hollywood. And so she, we were out here doing this big recording. It's 2 full days of recording, right? And my older son comes out and opens the door while we're in the middle of recording. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, no. And then he came out, he goes, oh, sorry. And he went back in, right? And so we finished up whatever we were recording. Go, let me go check on them. So I go inside and I said, what's going on? The older boy wanted to come out and tell me that his little brother got a victory royale. I don't know if you know what that is, but basically he's been doing the battle royale where it's 100 players,
right,
every man for himself.
Yeah.
And he had worked it down. And at 7 years old, he had won. And I immediately told myself,
by hiding in a bush.
Most likely he did a lot of hiding
because that's
but
how
then
went
he killed he killed the last two people.
Oh, nice. But that's part of it.
But there's also people who are really good at it,
right,
because they spend more hours than you and I can even afford to do because we have bills to pay, and they could just run and gun, which I'm always impressed by. But anyway, I knew it. I thought that was very touching that the older brother was so excited for his little brother.
Sure.
He came out to tell me, number one. And number two, I like that what I mean, because Jack, up until that point, earlier on, Jack was the first one to get 2 kills in the family. And so at dinner time, when we're talking, having family dinner time, there was lots of very serious conversation. Like, he's not even doing that. He's almost 7. So it's not like I'm pretending to be an adult and I'm 4. It's not cute like that. He does it in a very different way where he genuinely is like, he's not mimicking being serious and acting. He genuinely feels like where he'll look like, Dad, how many kills have you gotten? And I'll be like, oh, I've got 2. Oh, Jacob, because I got 2 yet, too. And he goes, oh, because I've got 3. And I think that means I'm the best Fortnite player in the family. Because I don't mean to hurt your feelings. He says that after it goes, but I'm the best Fortnite player in the family. Like, that A matters. But I just love how serious he is about it. So I knew as soon as Jack got a victory royale that there's going to be tons of talk about this. And sure enough, we were at lunch and he starts it off with, Dad, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. He goes, but I'm like a professional Fortnite player. I go, how do you figure? He goes, I mean, out of the family. Like, I'm out of the family, I am the most professional Fortnite player. He doesn't even understand what professional means, I think.
He
said, I am the most professional Fortnite player because I've gotten a victory royale and no one else has. And I was like, okay, son, thanks for sharing. He goes, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I go, son, my feelings aren't hurt, but thank you for your kindness and your consideration in the matter. But I just like it. I like, I'll share other moments of the week because Jacob's doing tackle football for the first time. And I'm very proud of everything he's doing and he's excited about it. We'll see. Part of the humor will be is that they've wore the helmets. They've done a practice with full pads. He's got another one tonight with full pads. But later this week is the first time hitting. And my fear is that I've bought a helmet. I've done all this stuff. And then first hit, he's going to be like, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'll be like, all right. So that's my moment. It's really, it's just a victory royale and Jack bragging about it. Your turn.
Can I look at my text since it's...
Oh, yes. Is it a conversation? Is that what it is?
Well, it's just for me to find something, because since I haven't visited her since her graduation, this is where
This is where your interactions are. Like you have.
Right.
And what do you, can I ask while you're searching, don't let me distract you too much.
No worries.
What do you guys usually text about? Like, is it you get off of work or you're on your way to work because you work at night, right? So you right. just kind of go, hey, how was your day? Or
back when she was in school, we would talk. I would say good morning. We'd talk about her going to school while she's saying good night to me because that's when I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
But all this is just asking for money.
That's a moment. What does she have to, does she do the thing of like, does she butter you up when she asks for money when it's long distance like this? Or does she just cut straight to it and go, no, Dad, I need like $500?
Yeah, she just cuts straight to it because she knows I'll just be like, well, this is what I have. You can have this.
Okay.
Like there is no fun and games around with it. It's just, you need money? How much do you need? Okay, I can get you this much.
Has there been a number, and if you're comfortable sharing it, please do, but has there been a number where she said to you and you're like, that's laughable? Like what you just said and what you just asked for is crazy laughable of what you're asking for?
Yeah, I guess kind of an instance of that was last year I had bought her a car.
Yeah.
Like first car. And I told her, hey, just so you know, Dad buys one car.
Right.
This is your first car. You take care of it. It's a good car. You don't take care of it. You don't have to apologize to me because it's your car, but
that's
Dad
only car.
Buys one car.
You're right.
And it was probably about a month later, her boyfriend was driving.
Uh-oh.
Turned a little too steep on a curb really hard. I think they were fucking around doing donuts or whatever kids do. But anyway, fucking bent the axle frame. So it's total car, goodbye car. And then like, I was like, okay, well, you know, you get your monthly allowance or whatever, you can save that up and you can buy you another car, whatever you want to do or not. I don't care. I'll send you money. What you do with the money, it's up to you. But Dad buys one car. and so it's probably about a month later. She's like, so do you think you can send me $1,000 so I can get this Jeep I'm looking at? No.
Not going to happen. Now, did she figure out a way to get the Jeep, or did she just get something else?
She got something else. It's looks like a PT Cruiser, but it's not okay. A PT Cruiser. It's a nice little car.
That's good. And did she even file an insurance claim to try and get the total cash out, or is it just like junked at that point?
At that point, she had missed her payment on her insurance, so she didn't have insurance to file. So now I pay for her car insurance.
Oh, I can't wait for this part of my life to begin. I know it sounds like a crazy person to say that. Even William is laughing out loud at me. But, oh, it's just this is why every time I see you, I'm so fascinated by it.
But see, that's a good thing with her moving in with me. I can finally get her on my car insurance and it'll go down a little bit.
Right. And save it. It's a cost effective.
Because right now it's just I'm paying for her car insurance with just her on her own.
Because she's out of the state.
She's out of the state as a 19-year-old. So they're like, yeah, that's $400 a month.
Oh, the joys of parenting.
I go, yeah, that's reasonable. I won't trust her either.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, that was our show. Send me an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, if you want to support the show, go to thedadpodcast.com. Go down to the bottom of the page. Click on that Amazon banner, bookmark it as your Amazon link. Every time you go back to Amazon, they give Daddy a taste. It costs you nothing. All it does is support the show by going to Amazon, which we all know we're all doing already. William, do you have a Twitter handle that people you'd like to reach out to? Or
no, I don't do any of that social media.
Really?
I have a Facebook.
You have a Facebook, but you like that's you just have friends?
And to be honest, I have a Twitter and an Instagram.
But it's just for following. You just want to see?
No, it's because Barb started them. All for me. I have never been on them. So you could look me up on Twitter.
And just see a blank.
Yeah, there's people following me, apparently. People have told me that. There's like 70 people following me. I've never tweeted one thing.
That's kind of disappointing.
Well, it's probably because I'm the GM of a comedian's like, oh, I'm going to follow this guy.
Then I can figure out how
and
to
And then they just forget that they're following me or something. I have no idea because... I've literally never made one tweet.
All right. Well, then go to flapperscomedy.com.
There you go.
Come see a show. One of the things that I would like to recommend, especially to the parents in the Southern California area, or if you're coming here for a vacation, is Saturday early matinee. It's like 4:30. They do a 2 milk minimum. I did a fundraiser there for our local elementary school because I've been trying desperately to try to get parents from the elementary school to go to the club because I love it. It's a locally owned business. I mean, what's not to love about supporting it? But This show was incredible. Michael Rayner, who's been on the show, he books the show. It's comedy for all ages.
Yeah.
So the kids are there.
My favorite show of the week.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I laughed my ass off to the point where I felt like I was being obnoxious, but I really was enjoying it. And the kids have fun. And even in this one, they had kids that were so little, they were like, I want to say 5 or 6, and they were kind of heckling to a certain extent.
Sure.
By any other show standards, it would be heckling. But in this, it was just fun. And all the comedians roll with it. Everybody's super nice, super cool. So if you want something that's fun to do, where you can have some good food, even have a cocktail, and be entertained with the kids sitting in the room. It's a quick hour, maybe hour and a half tops. Long. It's a short show. You come in, you have a great time. But also, I think underrated as a date night, and it sounds like I'm doing a commercial, but I'm not. I mean this, is that I think if I had not spent so much of my life as a stand-up comedian, in fact, my wife even mentioned this recently. She goes, we need to go to more comedy shows. Like, it's a great date night.
Sure.
It's a great way. You get out, you have a little bit of food, have some drink, you laugh. It breaks up the monotony. And then afterwards, you guys go somewhere and have a little conversation. That's always going to be key. Or go to the, if you're going to Flappers, the food is so delicious there. You get there early, right? They'll let you in an hour before the show starts. You can order some food.
Yeah.
Sit and chat in the bar or chat in the showroom until the show starts. So you get that little visit.
Weeks, chat in the new patio.
Oh, that's right. Yes. William's working on the new patio, but it's great. I'm telling, and I'm not saying this because he's sitting in the room. I would say this to anybody who's like, what should I do for a date night? Go to a comedy show. Go sure. Have fun laughing. It's great. It's fun. You'll really enjoy it. So again, flapperscomedy.com. If you're ever in the Southern California area, it's in Burbank. And tweet Will, because then he'll let me know that you're in town. hit me up, and if I can work out a way of coming by, say hi, hell, maybe I'll join you at the show. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But on behalf of my good friend William, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.